Hi, I'm Madonna Guy. Welcome to The Natural Alternative. I'm here today with Trish Howard. Trish has been a naturopath, herbalist, homeopath, remedial massage therapist, extraordinaire since 1996. Welcome.
Thank you, Madonna. Pleased to be here.
We are old school naturopaths. So when we were taught so many methods of communication in the body, with one thing may be affecting something else without an obvious cause. And the great thing about having been around for so long is that we're seeing science catch up to what we have sort of been taught as naturopaths 25 plus years ago. And one of the favorite things you look at is stress in the gut.
And
isn't it funny, because some people still don't know about this connection. And yet it's something that is so obvious when you look at the nutrients and the herbs that really do have that beautiful connection to both of them.
Indeed.
So what do you find with your clients? How do you go about managing this connection?
Well, sometimes it's actually getting people to recognize that they're stressed. You know, I'm not stressed. And you go, oh, okay. In fact, one patient of mine actually took 2 years to acknowledge that she was stressed.
Do you think that's old style stoicism? You know, people, you know, those people who are just so stoic from, you know, war days, born during that sort of time. Do you think that's part of it? Because I love those clients too. They don't recognize it, and the kinesiology tells me a whole different story.
Indeed. Yeah, and it could be. So a lot of stuff can be held as ancestral memory. So, yes, we can have that belief that, just soldier on and all will be well. Or we could even be in today's, mindfulness, where you fake it till you make it, where, no, everything's okay, you know, la, la, la. And sometimes it just bloody isn't.
Yeah. And sometimes those people are fully aware of all of the stress, but they're just, they're shelving it, like you say. They're internalizing it, which, of course, is not good for us as human beings.
Indeed. And this is where the science then comes in to help, because it's the adrenals that get overloaded. And when the adrenals are doing that fight or flight thing, that then the blood supply to the gut is lessened, because why should you need to digest food if you're trying to get the hell out of from the saber-tooth tiger?
Yes.
Yeah? Indeed. And if your stress is prolonged, and this is the issue, when the stress is prolonged, then the digestion starts to fail, and that's when it then starts to break down.
And I think people don't realise what chronic stress does to them. Were you at the Metagenic seminar with Dr. Flavio Cattigiani, the Brazilian 33-year-old guy who spoke about adrenal fatigue? He was a 16-year-old with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. He just had no energy and he didn't know why. So he was a bit of a Doogie Howser, became an endocrinologist by 26 years old, and had all these published studies when we met him at 33. So he was an absolute dynamo. But he was saying that as endocrinologists who deal with the adrenals, who deal with the endocrine system, your hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal axis, they were not taught to ask anything about stress.
Oh.
So he had to actually create a protocol, and he was like one of the renegade endocrinologists who was actually discussing things like stress and trauma and marriage. How is your marriage? How do you feel on a daily basis? Because men were coming to him with testosterone problems and, say, libido issues, and he'd say, well, how's your marriage? They go, what do you mean? Go, well, could you have, intimate relations with this person over here as opposed to your wife? So, yeah. But it was interesting, as an endocrinologist who deal with the adrenals, that was never part of their discussion.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, and true enough, that HPA axis that we all like to throw around, we kind of forget that while the science can tell us all that kind of stuff, how does it actually show up in people?
Yeah.
And how to recognize that.
So what are the top signs that you see in body when your brain goes tick, tick, HPA axis?
Well, the classic one is the whole, I'm not stressed. Yeah. It is. It's a classic. But I also have a short questionnaire that I get people to fill in. And one of that is under stress. And I've forgotten the other word, but anyway. And those top 10 things come up. Like,
oh, is it the DAS? The depression?
No, it's not the DAS, but okay. It's partly based on that.
Okay, cool.
So it asks, you know, have you moved house? Have you started a new job? Have you been fined, you know, like car fine?
Yeah.
Yeah, all those kind of things. And so, you know, people are ticking those boxes and then tell me they're not stressed. I go, okay, let's reevaluate that, shall we? Yeah. And also too, there's things in there, you know, do you go to tea and coffee every day or to sugary foods? They're a classic kind of sign as well. That, you know, I can't go a day without my block of chocolate, or I can't relax in the evening unless I have my little square of, it's dark chocolate, so it must be okay, you know?
Yeah.
You know, things like that are really good steering points.
Yeah. I always love thinking of, I remember somewhere along the lines it was mentioned that we need a lot of glutamine for the brain.
Yeah.
And we need a lot of glutamine for the gut lining.
Yes.
So, therefore, if our brain is frazzled and stressed, then we can steal glutamine from the gut lining to give to the brain. And in the same way, if our gut is traumatized, we can steal glutamine from the brain and give it to the gut.
Yeah.
And that's just one nutrient.
I know, right? So simple, so easy. And I think by the time people come and see me, they've been here, been there, or they've tried this and tried that, but haven't actually got to the cause of what's going on for them.
Yeah.
And so that tends to be my big go-to is, okay, well, you've got this and that's not great, but where's it coming from? What's brought that on?
Yeah.
And I guess that's part of the thing that I really love about naturopathy is the delving in and finding out, asking questions,
where's it happened,
what's underneath that and what happened before that.
Yes. And then when, you know, you can come back to like an operation or a birth of a child or the loss of a parent or the divorce of parents or a younger sibling being born, or, you know, there are so many things that people can often go, well, I was really well until I was 16. Yeah, well, what happened at 16?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you start sort of finding out. So people often know when their symptoms have started, but they've just never been asked that by a medical practitioner a lot of the time.
Yeah, and not only not asked, but they've also not made the connection either.
Yes.
Because what's that got to do with how I'm feeling now?
Yes.
Because that could have happened 2 years or something prior, or even as you suggested, when they were 16 or 12 or whatever, way back then. So how does that affect me now when I'm 23 or 35?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember like the connection with anesthetics in the gut and the brain as well. So there was an obesity seminar about 10, 12 years ago where one of the women was saying that she was, no, it wasn't obesity, sorry, it was depression and dementia. And she was saying that she's got an experiment she does with her clients, and I've been doing it with my clients ever since because it's so easy. It's the doing the equivalent of 4,000 micrograms of B12 a day for 3 weeks.
Right.
So from our supplement perspective, Metagen methyl B12 active, so that's got 1,000, so it's 4 of those a day, obviously well before dinner. And because that's the equivalent of doing B12 injections. So B12 injections are only 2,000 micrograms.
Yeah, yeah.
But what B12 injections don't do is reactivate the enzymes we need to get B12 out of our food.
That's right, yeah.
So when you take 4,000 micrograms a day, you're doing two things. That's enough to pull out old anesthetic from the body that's been stored in the gut lining around the body. But it also, if the memory starts to improve, it's a sign that the memory issues are because of B12 deterioration. lack of ability to absorb. And so, you know, that's something I've been doing for a long time. I love these researchers who sort of say these little things, and I go, oh, I'll put that in my protocols. You know, that's a experiment for someone to try and see whether or not it helps them.
I think I'll adopt that one too. Thank you.
Yeah. And B12, of course, we absorb most of it either side of the appendix. So when we've had our appendixes removed, quite often we've got that B12 deficiency.
Yeah.
Lovely. So what other methods do you use of how do you go about, because you're quite intuitive, do you use your intuitive nature to work out what someone needs?
Yes. Look, I have to say I actually really work from both ends of the spectrum. So I look at the intuitive, I look at my knowledge base, whether that's learned or experienced in my practice over the last 20 odd years.
Yes.
And I also look at the other end, which is the science.
Yeah.
And it can come from anywhere in that.
Yes. Yeah?
But I have to say, it is amazing sometimes I'm talking with someone and I suddenly go, wang, oh my God, there goes the light bulb. Have you thought about this? Or I ask a question and I go, where did that come from? Okay, just be quiet and listen to the answer. And it's amazing how much knowledge and information people have about themselves, and they've got the answers there already. Yeah. So a lass that I was seeing this morning, it's a skin condition, but it's linked to gut stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Funny that. And I just asked her about, you know, how it's improved, and does she feel she just needs more time to allow it to happen, or would she like some herbs to help with that? And she's gone, actually, I'm quite happy for time, but I really would like some herbs. In fact, I've taken Chinese medicine in the past, and I went, go for you, because I don't know if you've ever had Chinese herbs, but oh my God, they are full on the flavour.
I much prefer these ones.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah.
You know, 5-10 mils.
Yeah, that's the one.
At a time, as opposed to a cupful. Yeah.
So we're going to make up some herbs. And I was sitting there, and I knew this interview was coming up, so it's like, herbs for the skin, what are they? And they just went pop, 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 pop. And I haven't used skin herbs for ages. So there we go.
And I thought I would, when you said, you know, leaky gut leak, I remember a researcher, someone said at one stage, if you've got a leaky gut, you can have a leaky brain. Or if you've got a leaky gut, you can have leaky skin. Or if you've got a leaky gut, you can have leaky lungs. It depends on where your weakness is for your body.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect. Brilliant. Good job.
Mm. Yeah.
Everything comes back to the gut.
Everything comes back to the gut. And, you know, it is occasionally I'll sort of say, look, I hate to be a boring naturopath, but, you know, let's look at your liver and your gut first. See if we can start to sort that out a bit. Yeah.
I know, right?
If your liver and your gut are working, everything's going to work better.
Yeah, and it's true. And it's that kind of that quote of all roads lead to Rome.
Yeah.
So in naturopathy, all roads lead to the gut.
Yeah.
And for me, it's working out if the client is actually someone that can hear that, even though it's their skin driving them insane, itching, whether they can go with the gut or whether you need to actually start with the skin and work back to the gut.
Yes. Yeah. And even something really simple like the probiotic LGG. So about 15 years ago or something, we started being able to use LGD in quite big doses in Australia. And I started getting such remarkable changes in people's skin, but on big doses, don't get me wrong, like 40 billion a day or something like that. But nonetheless, it was amazing. And it was one of those things that was, it's almost proof for me, you know, for my brain that likes the proof, you know, because I've got doctors and scientists in my family. So even though I'm doing all the old voodoo naturopathy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I like to have that proof myself.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's true enough. And yet saw in the newspaper recently that science has just discovered that children of today are not doing enough exercise.
Oh, goodness me.
I know, right?
Yeah. What a concept.
As my partner said, oh my God, we paid someone to study that.
We pay people to do the stupidest things. Indeed. It's quite amazing. Yeah. Exercise is good for you.
Yeah.
And when that Dr. Flavio Cattigiani was at Metagenics conference, at the time there were over 2,000 published studies on exercise and how good it was for the gut. So they found that exercise improves the microbiome in the gut. So it improves the breadth and width of the amount of good guys we've got working for us in the gut. And they found that even people with a bad diet, if they exercise lots, they can protect their microbiome, you know, to a certain extent, obviously.
Yeah. And there's lots of different things about protecting our microbiome. I remember, I think it was the International Congress on Natural Medicine, someone had done a study or showed a study of loud music, like heavy metal music. The microbiome didn't like it.
Huh, fascinating.
Indeed. Whereas things like, and it wasn't all classical music, because as you know, summer's in different times, like 3/4 or whatever it's called, not very musical thing, but there's some particular classical music that actually really supports and encourages our microbiome.
That's hilarious. I had not heard that. That's great. I love it.
Excellent.
Yeah, and with the microbiome, remember there was a study that they did where they looked at people in Africa compared to people in LA, and they basically got them to swap diets for a fortnight, and their microbiomes in Africa got worse, the microbiomes in LA improved, and then they swapped back. So we can actually, within a very short space of time, a fortnight or so, really start to change both the way our genes are working, the way our microbiome is functioning. Yeah. You know, so it doesn't take that long once we start getting into a healthy space for things to start turning around.
Indeed. And that was one of the catchphrases that I learned way back in college 20 odd years ago, was if you provide the body with the right environment, it can heal from almost anything. Yeah. So providing it good food, and the ability to be able to break that food down and utilize it.
Yes.
But also, importantly, funny enough, is being able to get rid of it.
Yes.
Yeah, so that bowel function's got to be working. And that's one of my other favorite spots is talking about poop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many people do you have who go to the toilet once a week and think it's normal?
Oh, sadly, way too many. Yeah. But that's what my mum did, and my sisters all did that.
And my doctor said that's normal for me.
Oh, my God.
Doctors often say that's normal to clients. Oh, well, if that's good for you. Yeah. So anyway, as naturopaths, we don't like that. We like to chat about the poop. We like to know the consistency, whether it's light or dark, whether it's sinking or floating, whether or not it's in pieces or in one long line.
It all tells
us information.
Tell us everything.
Yeah. And just so, yeah, so sort of like, especially these days, you know, people are so sinusy and mucusy. Well, here in Australia, because we had like 5 months of rain in a row. So, you know, there's so much molds and so much, you know, shenanigans going on. So it's sort of like a whole bunch of people have had more sinusy stuff this year than they've had in like 20 years. So when we're secreting mucus, our body can secrete it all over the place. Sometimes it's localized, but sometimes it can be in the sinuses, the lungs, and the bowel all simultaneously, because they're all endothelial cells, epithelial cells.
One of those.
Anyway, but basically we're one secreting mucus, you know. Lots of them can secrete mucus. They go, have your poops been light and floating, you know, and that can be the mucus in the bowels. So anyway, sort of. And I remembered also someone said at a conference one, they were talking about the amount of bowel bacteria that should be in each poo. So when we're constipated, there can be a total lack of good gut bacteria, because part of the whole transit time is the amount of good gut bacteria.
Yep.
And our microbiome should weigh about 2 kilos.
Yes, that's right. There's so much of it in there. I remember hearing that most of the genetics that we have in our bodies don't actually belong to us.
Yes.
They belong to the microbiome.
Yeah, so we've got about 23,000 genes, but the microbiome has over a million genes.
There you go.
So and it's all about keeping us alive, so we're nowhere near as smart as our bugs. And we think we're human.
Oh, I know, right?
We're a host. We are a host. Look after our tummy bugs.
That's the one. Yeah.
So what sort of changes do you like to make in people's diets to help their gut and brain connection?
So I used to have quite a take this out, add this, take that out, add this. And, you know, that worked quite well most of the time, not always, but most of the time. And then I discovered this hair test called biocompatibility. And I now really suggest particular dietary regimes until we get a hair test done.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And I do that because one lady came in, she didn't eat any green vegetables at all. And as a naturopath, you go, right, stop there. That's it. You've got to go out and eat green vegetables, right? Your life depends on it. And so she did. And in the meantime, we set the hair sample off, which takes a couple of weeks to come back. And lo and behold, when that test came back, nearly every green vegetable was in red.
Right.
Which means it's not compatible with her. So I had to sit back and go, right, well, let's rethink that then.
Yes.
Anyway, as it turns out for this lass, it was tomato that was her issue. And the green vegetables, they came back to being black on the list when it got retested 6 months later. But the tomatoes have never shifted. And to this day, and we're talking about 6-7 years later, if she even whiffs a tomato, her symptoms come back. And they were all gut stuff.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And that was all tomatoes, obviously?
Yes. So it didn't matter the breed of tomato or whether it was cooked or fresh or tinned or frozen or dried.
Because I know a lot of our tomatoes have been genetically modified with fish, you know, to make them more red. Mm-hmm. So there's like a genetic modification, so they ripen faster. So a lot of people who have fish allergies often have tomato allergies as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the thing here in Australia, we're not told if anything's been genetically modified. They just, you know, do their thing and we have to do the best we can in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I did miss organic tomatoes is also in that sample.
Okay.
Yeah. So tomatoes, they're out for her.
Because I had a vegetarian boy a few years ago. I mean, he was still 6 foot tall, but he was like 13. Anyway, I was doing some kinesiology and because they've been vegetarian his whole life, when his, because he did a fairly big bloods with his doctor and they brought in the list and the poor darling, everything vegetarian was in the red and and all of the meats and things were in the healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't become a meat eater, but it was one of those things where I said, look, let's just check. And parents sometimes don't want to know this. I said, let's just ask the body if they were organic, would it be okay?
Yeah, okay.
And most of the things were okay for him if they were organic as opposed to, you know, so then is it the glyphosate? Is it the herbicides and pesticides? Is it the fact that they're picked green and, you know, ripened with radiation? You know, all of the stuff they do to our food before we actually get them on the table.
Indeed. That's exactly right. And that's one of the things that often comes up. Yeah, but I eat a really good diet. And, well, some people's definition of good diet is a little different to mine.
Yes.
and yet some people can have a really good diet, as in it's very clean. They grow a lot of their own foods, etc. And that's brilliant. But if their gut function is letting them down, it doesn't matter how squeaky clean and good their diet is.
That's right.
Yeah. So, again, it comes back to the gut. We've got to sort that out.
Yes. Because if there's
leaking, it does make a big difference what we put in there.
Yes. Because I remember sort of the one of the ways that I really simply describe to people about leaky gut, you know, you've got all these tight junctions in your gut with your cells really tightly next to each other. But all day, every day, for immune function, they're supposed to gently open, dip their toe into the bloodstream, come back and tell the immune system, which is 80 to 90% in the gut, what it needs to do from the white blood cell perspective. What does it need to release? You know, monocytes and lymphocytes and eosinophils, basophils and what have you. And that little tight junction in there, this little bit in here, that's predominantly vitamin D. So if we don't have enough vitamin D, and, you know, what have people been doing? We've been wearing hats. We've been locked up. We've been, you know, sort of told the sun is evil. Get that sunscreen on. Never see the sunshine. Yeah. You know, and people are getting more and more vitamin D deficient.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do many bloods with people?
No. Funny enough, I don't.
I don't either.
Old school. Yeah.
Yeah. I do bioresonance. And anyway, so vitamin D, and, you know, then even just thinking about the past 2.5 year shenanigans, one of my ladies who gets absolutely everything, and she knew that if she got this, it would probably, you know, she gets a cat scratch and she'll suffer for 2 years. So, you know, we just knew we had, so she's been on really big doses of things throughout the whole Rona. And she, her, everyone in her family got it. And she had, we had her vitamin D up over 200.
Oh, good job. Yeah.
And she did not get a single sniffle or anything. Absolutely nothing. It was awesome. So, and in the bioresonance, it shows that she's had it, but she had no symptoms.
Perfect. Yeah. I had heard that if your level's over 150, then it's not likely that you'll get it.
Yes.
And if it's up in that 200, then you'll probably get no virus at all.
Yes. And just, I don't know whether you've found it, but the Orthoplex now has Rapid D.
Yes.
Which is drops. I mean, you know, that's changed my vitamin D life. All of a sudden we can get decent doses of vitamin D into people pretty cheaply and quickly.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
It is. It's fabulous.
What other nutrition do you like for the gut? So glutamine, vitamin D.
Oh, I have to say.
Are you more a herb girl?
I do love my herbs, and my all-time favorite thing for the gut is slippery elm.
Oh yes,
I know.
Tell us about slippery elm.
It's so bloody simple and so easy, and yet it's amazing what it covers and what it can help with, and it starts right from here all the way down to the other end.
Yep.
And is doing great things all the way. And, I mean, I now do a couple of days down at the health food store, and it's a very different style of naturopathy. And there's some people I've just gone, look, let's just get you on this slippery elm and see how you track. Well, I had one lady come back a few weeks ago saying, oh, this slippery elm's great. I said, yeah, I know, I love this. And she goes, yeah, I know, because you put me on it about 2 years ago. I said, best thing ever. After all those doctors and specialists, and no one could find anything wrong with me, and you put me on this simple little thing, and I've never been better.
So how do you do it? Do you do capsules or powders? Do you do before, during, or after meals? Do you do between meals? Like, what's your thing?
Okay, so the difference between a capsule and a powder depends on where you want to use it. So if it's below the stomach, then a capsule or tablet is absolutely fine, because that's where you want it to work. But if you want it to work in the throat or the stomach, it's got to be a powder that you turn into a slurry. So it does the coating thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you're doing it for this section, as in the upper GIT, I suppose you'd call it.
Yep.
Then it needs to be before a meal. So you've got that coating that after eating, if you get any reflux, then it's not hitting you, it's hitting the slippery elm. Yeah. Whereas in the bowel, take it whenever you remember it, right? Just get it in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Because it's so, well, actually, it's less cheap than it used to be, but it's pretty bloody cheap and easy. Exactly. And especially if it can do so much. I like those things where you can use one thing for a while and let's see what's left over, you know, next time I see you.
Yes. And that's exactly what I love about it, because it can soothe this, and because it's soothing it, the inflammation goes down, therefore it can start to repair. And when the inflammation goes down, then the valve can actually close again, so you're actually getting less reflux anyway.
Yeah.
And then if you, once that feels better and you stop popping the antacids,
yes,
then your actual digestion can start working again.
Yeah.
You can get some nutrient out of your food. Oh, my goodness. And you feel like a new person.
Yeah. And I don't think people understand what proton pump inhibitors actually do to our body. You know, like I, once again, at a seminar once they said they were never, ever approved for longer than 3-month use.
Yeah.
And yet everyone in the world takes them for the rest of their life.
Hey, what is with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
They come in and say, oh, I've been taking for about 2 years now. And you just go, oh, no. Well, there's your problem right there.
Yeah. So when you're taking PPIs, yeah, so because there's good acid and bad acid.
Yeah.
PPIs shut down both.
Yeah.
Both the good acid and the bad acid.
Indeed. So a lot of what I do is educating, teaching people, explaining stuff. You know, they come in with their big screens and paper of blood tests and scans, and they go, I have no idea what it means. So sometimes we can spend the whole consultation just going through. So at least they have peace of mind. Oh, okay, well, that actually doesn't really mean anything. This is something I just need to keep an eye on.
Yes.
And this one is the one that I really need to keep my eye on the ball.
Yeah, or this one, and this one are because of that medication, and you're taking that medication as a side effect of that medication. So, you know, do you still need them? Go, yeah. Well, I got put on them when I left hospital, and I've been filling the script ever since. Some people just don't think about it.
Correct. Yeah, I just go back to my doctor for a repeat. He says, how you going? I go, okay, and he goes, rightio. There you go. Yeah. You're right for another 3 months or whatever it is. Which so I actually give them the power to question. What, next time you go in, ask him, what am I taking this for again? Do I really need to be taking this still? Is it possible for me to come off it?
Yes.
And I make it very clear it's not about me. It's not my place, and it never will be, to change what you've been prescribed by your doctor. I give you permission to ask the questions, though, and find out what that you do need. Yeah.
That darn Dr. Pedestal.
I know, right? Knock them off a bit here and there.
Yeah, just occasionally.
Although I have to say we've got some really good ones down here.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. Work well with them.
Excellent. And, just earlier on when you mentioned about the greens with the that test that came back, the greens were a problem. And I don't know whether you've heard this story, but Dr. Jordan Peterson, he's a Canadian psychologist, I believe, quite famous because everyone hated him because he said men are men and women are women. Anyway, he was talking to Joe Rogan recently, and he's had anxiety since he was 13. And really bad. It's all through his family, you know. You sort of listen to him with depression, anxiety through the family. It's just massive. And nearly every day of his life, he's woke up with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And he's sort of worked through them. Luckily he sort of sorted himself out a bit. But this year he has done the carnivore diet. Now, when he said that, I had my idea of what it was. Mm-hmm. But for him, he started off just meat and veggies. He had to get rid of the veggies.
Yes.
It was improving, but the veggies were still creating anxiety in his brain. Mm-hmm. So since he's been, and once again, the vegans and vegetarians out there will hate me for this, but he's eaten nothing for, I think he said, 6 months, except for beef, water and salt. Nothing else. His anxiety and depression is the best it has ever been in his life.
Yeah. Go figure.
So naturopathically, and that's where you have to rethink things occasionally. Because I was like, really? You can do that?
I know. That's what I actually had a client come in and say, I'm doing the carnivore diet. And I went, well, what does that mean? He says, I eat meat and fat and that is it. And I go, well, you can't live like that. And he goes, well, I am. Now, and for him, he was in chronic pain top to bottom, some days better than others. And he honestly, he'd only been on it for a couple of weeks and he went, oh my God, I feel better already.
Yeah.
And it put my head in a spin as a naturopath. And also, I like to believe that I'm open enough to hear and see what others are doing and see how that goes. So I met up with him recently and he's doing great. He's back on some vegetables and still doing well.
Excellent.
Mm.
And there is a hell of a lot of, and did it matter whether, can I ask, did it matter whether he was eating grass-fed or grain-fed or, like, was he choosing anything specifically there? Just out of curiosity?
Yeah, no, good question. Didn't ask that one.
Okay. Because, you know, with the whole lectin thing.
Yeah.
So I remember there was a dude at one seminar talking about autism. I think it was like a 4A, autism, asthma, ADHD and something else. Anyway, so there was this dude up on stage and he's chatting about how he accidentally got into treating kids with autism. Yeah. And what he ended up doing a whole bunch of research, he found initially he just got them off gluten and dairy. Thought, okay, let's get them off gluten and dairy and that'll, you know, at least make some change. And some people it made massive changes. Kids went from being nonverbal to verbal and their moods were amazing, you know, just getting those two things. And the more they started researching, they found the lectin. So you might be able to correct me if you've heard more updated on this, but somewhere in the 80s here in Australia, we genetically modified a bunch of grains.
Yes.
Lectins are a natural pesticide in foods. So they genetically modified them to be somewhere between 10 times and 100 times the normal amount of lectins.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have to say they were GMO because it's Australia, but also because it was something natural that was in the food.
Yeah.
Now, what they found with the lectins was that when the cows ate the grains, then there was lectins in the cow milk.
Yeah, that's right.
And the grains themselves were high in lectins because we bastardized them.
Mm-hmm.
So they know now that lectins can destroy the villi in the intestines and basically just so then we're releasing a whole bunch less enzymes and, you know, so you're not releasing digestive enzymes and all sorts of protective thing. You've got less immunity. You've got less protection from the world around us and our food around us. So I remember that lectins being a huge thing for me as well.
Yeah, I remember that. I actually remember that particular lecture because it was quite an eye-opener to think, oh, my God, lectins in the milk.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So that's where we went, oh, so we need to discover grass-fed milk.
Yes.
As opposed to grain-fed milk.
And then when my grandbaby was born, so he's 4 and a half now, and his tummy was a mess. So you do wonder about hospitals these days, but whatever, they're doing the best they can. Yeah. So they were told that they should be doing bottle fed right from the start. So right from day one so that daddy can bond. That was what they were saying.
You're kidding me.
No. So poor old little Ted, he had amazing tummy pain. And one night, Blaze rang me, you know, at like 8 o'clock at night. He said, Mum, you've got to do some muscle testing for me. And so I got it. He was at the supermarket. And I got him to photograph all of the different milks. And I used Jason, so my hubby. I got him to say, I am now Teddy. I got him to be Jack, you know. So I'm doing surrogate, you know, this time. Jay just sort of sits there going, oh, whatever. Anyway, as you do. So the only two that showed up were a grass-fed baby formula, a grass-fed milk baby formula, and a goat's milk. They were the only two that tested up out of like 15 or 20. Twice the price, of course. And but he overnight he was a different kid.
Yeah. And so I would have added some slippery elm to that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I would have.
Oh,
even if it was like a quarter of a teaspoon in a whole bottle. Even if they're breastfeeding, wet the nipple with the formilk and then just coat the nipple with slippery elm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
Magic stuff. Magic.
Yeah, right.
Really helps with gut troubles with bugs.
Just out of curiosity, do you have suggestions when people can't breastfeed? What do you recommend?
as a formula.
Yeah, because we used to have one from Metagenics, which is gone now. So I use that for years and years.
Yeah. So I always start with goat milk as opposed to cow milk. Yeah. There is a brand now called Bubs, B-U-B-S, that's got not only goat one, but a vegetable-based one.
Okay.
Which is really, really good. And it's
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was listening to an interview with Dr. Joseph McCullough recently. And so in the States, of course, they've got a baby milk shortage. And he's on his Substack. So Joseph McCullough's got a Substack and he's actually got a baby formula mix on there. And I keep meaning to go in and have a look and see what it is. Because, of course, at the same time, Billy Gates and all his mates, they're creating some bio milk, which scares the crap out of me because who the hell knows what's in it.
Indeed.
So far, I don't quite trust the man, shall we say.
I don't. Sorry, can't do. Not at this point anyway.
No. Yes, and apparently Ag One, which is going to be the One World Agriculture that the UN wants, that's in, right up the street from Monsanto's headquarters.
Oh,
so, it's all joined at the hip. It's quite crazy. Anyway, I'm sure that's
all happens. I can say is thank God for Corona that it got a lot of people doing a backyard garden.
I know. Did you hear the percentages with that?
No, I didn't.
So I was listening to Dr. Zach Bush. He's a gorgeous human being. And he was saying that at the beginning of Corona, on the planet, we've never had more than 3% of organics on the planet.
Yeah.
So with Corona, because of the backyard gardens, we got up to 6 to 7%.
Woohoo!
And which that's amazing.
That's double. That's over double.
So then to take Monsanto off its delightful agriculture pedestal, we only need to have about 13 to 15% organics, and their model financially doesn't work.
Oh.
How amazing is that?
That's sensational.
So I've got a compost going, but that's as far as I got.
Oh, well, it's a start, right?
It's a start, yeah.
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 Come on.
And now here in Australia, I don't know whether you've heard all the shenanigans going on with what they're trying. So part of what the UN, I don't know, someone's trying to do it, make it illegal for us to have our own backyard gardens.
Yes, that's right. So biohazard.
So I know in New South Wales just recently it was something crazy like, or maybe Victoria, that if you shoot a pig on your farm and you eat it, that's fine. But if you shoot a pig on your farm and you give it to Trish down the road, then it's a $22,000 fine.
I know, go figure. And so they're throwing this word around called biohazard, and that's what they're balancing the whole thing on.
Right. Interesting. Anytime anyone says the word sustainable these days, it makes me twitch. I go, yeah, right. Who's forcing this agenda? I'm not ready to eat my bugs yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Yes. So what else? Right. So you use that test to really give people an idea about what's going on in their body.
In relation to food. Yes.
And then you help to heal the gut so that their body can cope with more things.
Yep.
How have you had any accidental improvement in people's brains by doing that?
Yes. Nearly accidentally all the time.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, fully. The correlation is very clear.
And that's everything from depression, anxiety, memory, all sorts of things, or anything specific?
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything specific. I'd say it's kind of the gamut. Whatever's going on for that person in particular is the thing that will shift.
Yeah.
So funny again, that lass that was in this morning, she shifted from being a stress head to being more of a warrior.
Right, okay. Good job.
Huge. And it's only been 4 weeks. No, that's a lie. 8 weeks now.
Yeah, good. Excellent.
And that's all we've done is change the foods.
Yeah.
So if it's in red, don't eat it. If it's in black, well, that's okay.
Yeah. And is there anything specific? So thinking about detoxification then, Because obviously the gut and the liver, kidneys, immune system.
Yep.
So with people's immune system as well, obviously we've got a hell of a lot of it in our gut and intestines. So from a do you work dietarily with people's immunity or and detoxing, or do you, like, what do you do mainly there?
I generally start with the diet.
Yep.
Yeah, because what that does is it's like it does this clean sweep across the table and shows me what's left.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes, yes.
Yeah? So what's just about the food that hasn't been compatible with you that's been causing you issues?
Yes.
And what's left behind that's actually the issue? Yeah? So it may not be the arthritis that's the issue, because that was only because you ate broccoli and oranges. I don't know. I'm just making that up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas the skin thing is still there. So, okay, great. So arthritis we don't need to look at, because that was just about food. But the skin, okay, let's go and have a look more at that. So for the – sorry, I keep using this last that was in this morning – but she's now noticed a change in the smell of her excretions.
Oh, wow. Yep.
And I'm just going, oh, this is brilliant. So you're already going into a detox naturally through your change in diet. Let's see how that tracks. Yeah. Now, if that hadn't been happening yet, because of all the questions and whatnot I'd asked already, I knew that a detox was pertinent to her.
Yeah.
So if she hadn't been shifting naturally, I would have actually put her on one of the Metagenics protocols.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So I would have started with the gut elimination one, because that's very much her.
Yeah.
And then maybe later down the track done the liver one.
Yeah. Do you find many people can go to organics?
No.
Just the cost more than anything?
It's the cost that's the hardest, because it's available down here. But the cost is what really people just go, oh, I just can't afford that.
It's such a shame, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
As one of the ladies who I've listened to a bit in the last couple of years because of corona studies she's been doing is Dr. Stephanie Seneff. And she had this amazing, I don't know, 2-hour interview with Dr. Joseph McCullough about 6 months ago. And she was looking at, it was this paper was her and Dr. Peter McCullough, who's a world-renowned heart respiratory specialist.
Right.
And she was one of the first people to speak up in the 80s or 90s, looking at the correlation between glyphosate, which is the number one Monsanto pesticide, and autism. So people were looking at, you know, vaccines, of course, and there's a correlation, whether or not it's causation, but there's a correlation. As the number of vaccines has gone up, so has the autism, but also the amount of pesticides that's been used on the planet has gone up, you know, the same way as well. And once again, my Dr. Zach Bush in America, gorgeous human being, he was saying once that in America, about 1,000th of the pesticide they use actually ends up on the plant.
Oh.
So because of aerosol spray, 1,000th.
Jeez.
So because of spraying and the way that it's done, most of it ends up in the soil and the waterways. So then it ends up in the air and it ends up coming down from the clouds and it's in our environment, we're breathing it in. So the glyphosate, when it can get into our mitochondria, can switch off our ability to heal, particularly our gut. So this is where, you know, even if it's filled with pesticides, we're still better off eating heaps of the beautiful phytonutrients in fruit and veggies least we're helping to protect our genes, because all of those different beautiful colours, the reds and purples and oranges and yellows and greens, they all have different protective mechanisms for our genes. Indeed. And let's face it, we are living on a toxic, polluted planet.
Yeah.
So we have to do the best we can.
Correct.
The best we can is the best we can do.
Exactly. And that's what I tell everyone. Just do the best that you can.
Yeah.
You can get it sometimes, great. And if you can't, well, that's okay too.
Yeah.
Just go for fresh rather than tinned.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Go to the farmers markets.
Yeah.
You know, and people say to me, well, I don't trust that things are organic if I buy them. And for that one, I mean, farmers markets is another thing, but certainly in the supermarkets, we've got one of the most stringent governments around when it comes to organic. Interesting.
It is, isn't it?
So, right. So the detoxification, you generally start by changing the diet.
Yeah. Yep.
And then that nice little detox just starts to happen.
And it's amazing how often that does happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you eat something that's not compatible with you, it can block the energetics or the processes of anything, including detoxification. And so once you clear that food out, then the process can then can start again.
Yeah.
I know, it's so deliciously simple. I love it. It's so basic naturopathy.
It is. I agree, you know, and even people losing a bit of weight. You know, we know that, you know, just by losing 7 to 10 kilos can open up all sorts of pathways in the body for detoxification and energy production and increased fertility and all sorts of things.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And partly that's because you're getting rid of all those toxins you've been storing and getting more blood flow happening because you're moving more.
Yeah. There was a mortality study they did on grossly obese people. So 40, so their BMI was 40 or over, or maybe it was 50 or over. Anyway, they're very, very large people. And it was a 5-year mortality study where they had them lose weight. Well, they lost weight, but they compared the ones who did detoxification processes compared to those who didn't.
Oh, yeah.
And the ones who didn't detox through the process were more likely to die. So it was a mortality study than those who were detoxing on the way through. And I think this is one of the things that, you know, it's almost like we've got fat goggles on these days. You know, it's inappropriate to talk about fat.
Yeah.
And it's inappropriate to try to get people to go, well, maybe losing 7 to 10 kilos would be a good idea. Yeah. You know, sort of almost naughty. Anyway, yeah. I've just said it. So
I'll back you up.
But because our fat tissue stores so many toxins, when we're losing that weight, if our liver isn't detoxing properly, or our gut isn't, or our skin isn't, or our kidneys aren't, or our lungs aren't, we're just storing it again. We're just moving it from one area and storing it somewhere else.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely.
So with weight loss, do you support people with detox? Or do you once again do it mainly through dietary stuff? Sorry, got a sniffly nose this morning.
That's all right. It's freezing down here. It was -3 at home this morning.
I'm going to a Hawaiian party after this, so I'm...
We'll soak up that sun.
Yes.
So, yes. So with weight loss, yes, I look at dietary because I'm looking at those things that are blocking our natural processes, yeah? It's amazing how often people start to lose weight right there and then.
Yeah.
I also make sure that their gut is good before we do a liver detox. Because
absolutely.
I want to make sure that the body's good to let it go without reabsorbing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing a chart once. It was if we are too acidic, that's top of the chart. So if you don't alkaline first, you'll never get the gut right. If you don't get the gut right, you'll never get the liver right. If you don't get the liver right, you'll never get the immunity and the lymph right. If you don't get the immunity and lymph right, you're never going to get the kidneys right. And by the time you're down at the immunity, lymph, kidneys, you've got really systemic disease.
Yeah. Yep, yeah, you're onto it.
So with alkalization, do you do anything specific? So, you know, I sort of, I never really, some people can cope with like apple cider vinegar and water, others can't. Some people can cope with those prebiotic things like vinegar, sauerkrauts and things like that. Some people that just makes them, you know.
Yeah, I'm one of those, can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Yeah. I can do apple cider vinegar, but don't ask me that. It's sauerkraut. So, yes, I have a fabulous chart that on one side shows the alkaline-forming foods, and then it gets less and less. And then on the other side of the chart is the acid-forming foods, and it gets less and less, yeah? So I say eat more of these, less of these.
Yeah, nice.
Eat less of these and more of the set, yeah?
Yeah.
So through the diet, we can modify not only what your acid alkaline balance is, but also start to change some habits.
Yes.
That we've more often developed over time, or had a crisis of some sort and gone to the sweet biscuits and coffee. Okay, so let's make a shift and change on that.
Yes.
Change what the snack is. Can we change what the drink is?
Tea and Bicky diet. It's not good for anyone. You know.
Oh, it's nice for the soul every now and then to go out and play ladies with a cup of tea and Bicky.
Yeah.
I'm all good with that. But if it's a weekly, daily thing, not so good. And and everyone's different, of course, as to how much they can process or not.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. So I start with that. Then I love the Metagenics Detox Express.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I was thinking earlier on, I have a client who would prefer to take that every day of her life rather than eat green veggies.
Yes, and I suspect this lass I was talking about earlier would probably be very similar.
Yes. Yeah?
And you know what? I think that's okay too.
Yeah.
To a point, as long as they're eating enough other veggies to create or to gather that
the fiber and the prebiotics, phytonutrients. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do like the apple cider vinegar and the lemon juice first thing in the morning. I think that is a brilliant way for helping alkalize.
Yes.
But also just drinking enough bloody water. I can't tell you how many people come in and they, how much water do you drink? Oh, not enough. Okay, well, what does that mean? And I find out maybe they drink half a glass of water somewhere in the day. And it's just, that's when I have a little bit of a meltdown in my head, at least.
Yes.
And then I work out, okay, well, what's your body weight? So then we work out how much water they should be drinking, and they nearly fall on the floor because 1.6 litres, how the hell am I ever going to drink that?
Yeah.
And so I'll share a little story with them because it's true. I think I was about 18 when my aunt introduced me to drinking a glass of water first thing in the morning. A simple enough thing to do, right?
Especially now.
But at that time, it was a little Vegemite glass. I don't know if you're old enough or when your listeners are old enough to remember the little Vegemite glasses. I choked on it. Could not get this down. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And over time, like anything else, it became habitual. And now, like, I'm up in the morning, I'm going, where's my water? And I'm looking for it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And once again, purified water.
Oh, yes. It's got to be clean.
Get those toxins out.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's the thing. People often don't put together the connection between fluoride in water and not sleeping because the fluoride coats the pineal gland.
Yeah.
So it messes with our production of serotonin and melatonin.
Yeah, fully. Yeah. Apart from being high in chloride and blah, blah, blah. Chloride,
yes. And destroying our microbiome.
Yes. Mm. So at the very least, water into a jug so that it can gas off.
Yes.
That's the very least thing that you can do to have better water. The second thing is one of those bench top jugs where it goes through the top.
Yes.
It's still not brilliant, but it's better. And then you can go to your big bench top ones that have got several different layers. They're brilliant. And some of them will take out fluoride, some of them won't. So look into that if you want to get that out. Yeah. And then, of course, you've got your reverse osmosis
osmosis. Yeah, reverse osmosis, yep.
Yeah, speak properly too.
Yeah.
So there's all different levels of what you can do. But
and we've got the whole house water purifier.
There you go.
When we did a renovation a few years ago, 5.5 years ago. So yeah. I was always allergic to chlorine, so showers were never a thing for me.
Oh,
you know, wow. So I would love getting in the pool, but I'd get out and my eyes would be sore for hours on end. So it's lovely now.
Yeah, good. Fantastic. Mm. And what a great motivator to do that filtering of your water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So look after your gut.
Indeedy. It's the be all end all.
It really is. Mm-hmm. So what would your top three bits of advice be for people?
In relation to the gut or?
In relation to life.
In relation to
living your best life.
Oh, okay. Top three. Self-care, make sure it is on your list and make sure it's in the top three on your list.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm sure you have the same thing because I know you do structural work as well, but how often do you chatting to someone and say, well, what do you do for you?
Yeah.
And they start crying. Because they've never thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah, not even on the list.
Not even on the list. Hasn't even been a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Self-care, love it. That's beautiful.
Get it on the list. The other thing is making sure that you have time one way or another to recharge. And I'm saying this because I've just come back from 2 weeks holiday. Oh, my God, it was the best time. I was flat out. And yet I feel fully recharged because I've been so distant from my normal day-to-day.
Yes.
Yeah. And so 2 weeks, can't always do 2 weeks, but sometimes we can just 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Just go and sit in the sun and let it just melt you because it's just so delicious and relax. And then come back together and then move on with the day.
You know, I had a Reiki master say to me once, sometimes you have to do your holidays 5 minutes at a time.
There you go. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it's even 5 seconds. As in, righto. Yeah?
Yes.
That's number two. Number three, what would that be?
So self-care, taking time out. To recharge, yep.
Let go of the guilt.
Oh, how fantastic. You're not Catholic, are you?
No, thankfully not. So I don't have that one. But there's plenty of other guilt things.
Oh, man, it is. It's amazing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's guilt about everything all day, every day, and I've never noticed until the last 2.5 years how media and politicians push it.
Yeah.
I never noticed what bullies they were before.
Mm, indeed.
Which is very interesting.
It is. Yes.
So, and that's guilt about everything, you know. I sort of because I've got people who are guilt. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story. I had a guy years ago and he was dating this woman and they did not get along. And I remembered saying to him, I said, why the hell are you still with her? And he said, would you believe spite?
Oh, my goodness, really? So,
which, you know, was just one of the funniest things I ever heard.
Yeah.
So, but none of them, he didn't have guilt about it. He was just staying with it, a spider. But, yes. But people have guilt about their relationships. They have guilt in their jobs. They have guilt about everything they see and think and do. They have guilt about too many holidays, not enough holidays, their kids. They're
taking their supplements, forgetting their supplements, eating this, not eating that. Like, it's just, it's rife. And let it go. It's the one of our most ridiculous, useless emotions that we have.
Have you seen The Map of Consciousness? There was a book written about 25 years ago. It's got a black and white cover, and it's written by a guy whose name I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically, it was a 20-year study on kinesiology where all he was doing was muscle testing the frequency of different emotions.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
So what he found that when we're neutral, we've got a vibration of about 200. So everything above neutral is the stuff like love and faith and conscious and purity and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, everything underneath 200, you can imagine, is all the shame and guilt and anger and blame and all sorts of stuff. But the bottom one is shame. The set, it's a frequency of 20. The second bottom one is guilt with a frequency of 30.
There you go.
So when we have such a low frequency, what are we attracting? We attract our frequency.
Correct, yeah.
So we're going to actually attract people who allow us. Like if we're ashamed all the time, we will attract people who want us to be ashamed or who love us being ashamed, keep us in that shame. When we feel feeling guilty all the time, we're going to do the same thing. So it's sort of like we've got to take, exactly like you say, take that time out so that you can start bringing yourself back to yourself and pay attention to what you need.
Yeah.
And that, you know, true essence of us, which is all about love.
Indeed.
And connectedness.
Mm-hmm.
Guilt, good one. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Now, how can people find you, Trish?
Oh, for me, I'm a simple lass. I've got a website, trishhoward.com.au, and on there is my contact details. You can see I've got a very plain-looking phone and answer machine.
Awesome.
Which is
old school, I love it.
It's on 24/7. Go there. And if it ever tells you it's disconnected, don't believe it. That's just the U-Butte NBN system, right?
Yeah. Beautiful. And do you do Zoom calls as well or mainly one-on-ones?
I do mainly one-on-ones.
Yes.
I'm learning more about Zoom.
This is about my 30th Zoom ever.
Oh, well done to you. This is probably my third.
Yeah. No. I hear you. I actually was, I've got simple desk, simple clinic front desk, and I thought I had Zoom connected, but I can't make it work. So I'm going to have to ring up Marianne and say, how do I make this work?
Oh, okay. Good.
And it will be all integrated. So thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you all enjoyed that, everyone. I wish you all the best, Trish. Love your work. And I think old school naturopaths, we just have so much knowledge in these brains of ours, and sharing information is what we do. We just can't help ourselves.
Indeed, that's very true. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure having a yak with you.
You're absolutely welcome. Okay, talking.